Jewish audio on Kabbat.org.
This class is presented by Rabbi Moshe Nu, Rabbi at the Montreal Torah Center in Montreal, Canada.
We are presently in the period known as the counting of the Omer, which is a commandment that we are commanded to do in this week's Parsha, Parshas Emor. Let's read then the verses, page 623, it's chapter 23, verse 15. God says, you shall then count. Actually, the Hebrew reads, Usfartim lachem, you shall count for you. The day after Shabbos, if you glance across the page, you can see that it says, Mimacharas HaShabbos, the day after Shabbos. Shabbos conventionally means Shabbos. Here it doesn't. Here it means the day after the first day of Pesach. The question is, and this is the first question, why didn't the Torah just come out and say so? The Talmud records that the sages had debated publicly the Baisusim, which were a sect that rejected the oral law and believed only in the written law. And they argued Shabbos means Shabbos, not Pesach. And so the sages debated them and proved that it cannot mean Shabbos. Because first of all, which Shabbos? Which one? And for other reasons as well. And they proved that the Torah in fact means the day after the first day of Pesach. Why is it called Shabbos? The word Shabbos means to cease. Shabbos means not to work. On Yom Tov we are also forbidden to do the activities that we are forbidden to do on Shabbos. But the question is, as I asked a moment ago, what's the question? The Torah should have said the second day of Pesach, the day after the first day. Why call it Shabbos? And then we have to debate and clarify the issue. Anyway, what are we supposed to count? The day after Shabbos, the day after the first day of Yom Tov. So, before we get to that, the Torah says, from the day which you brought the Omer as a wave offering. What does this mean? Omer simply means a measure of grain. This is a wave offering. This was a measure of grain of barley that was literally waved in all six directions. Elsewhere in Torah, we are commanded to bring this offering. Not every individual. One Omer offering on behalf of the entire nation was brought every year on the second day of Pesach. It was then distributed amongst the Kohanim on duty who ate it. Barley, toasted, roasted barley. The purpose of this barley offering was to allow for the consumption of the new crop, the new harvest. Nobody could eat of the new harvest until the barley offering had been done on the second day of Pesach. This verse is now telling us that on the second day of Pesach, which coincides with the day that you bring the barley offering, which was really a Thanksgiving offering, like before anybody could eat of the new crop, a token, symbolic measurement, Omer means again a measurement of grain. A measurement of grain was offered to God, and the Kohanim ate it as his divine representatives. The Torah is telling us here in our verse that the counting of the Omer coincides with that offering and that day. And from then you shall count 7 weeks. The second question is, why does the Torah link the counting of the Omer, the countdown, the 7 week countdown, to the barley offering? They're two unrelated things completely. The barley offering is a thanksgiving for the new crop. The countdown is what? Right, in anticipation of the giving of the Torah. We are commanded to count these 7 weeks because that's what had happened initially, spontaneously, when the Jews were told, when they left Egypt, and prior to the Exodus, in fact, that they were going to receive the Torah. They couldn't wait, and they counted the days. And from henceforth, from then on, God commanded that each year we count the days in preparation for the giving of the Torah. And that seems to have precious little to do with the barley offering, which is a thanksgiving for the new crop. Why does the Torah link the two? You shall count on the second day of Pesach 7 weeks. That's what it should say. Do we have to be reminded now again that this is the day when you brought the barley offering? That is written elsewhere. That's written elsewhere. Why does the Torah bind the two? They're two unrelated commandments, it seems. And furthermore, we call the counting of the Omer the counting of the Omer. What a funny name. Omer is a reference to the measurement of grain brought on day one, and finito, done, finished. You brought the barley offering. Thank you for the new crop. Everybody now can enjoy the new harvest. The counting of the Omer, that's a countdown to Shavuos. And we call it the counting of the Omer. And we call it the counting of the Omer because the verse welds the two together. Why does the verse do that? The verse just concluded by saying you should count 7 complete weeks. 7 complete weeks is how many days? 49. The next verse, however, seems to contradict that. You should count till the end of the 7th week, 50 days. And we don't count 50 days. We don't count the 50th day. We count 49 days. As verse 15 tells us. Why does verse 16 seem to imply that you shall count, right? See, the translation is not precise. He's kind of preempted these questions and he completely compromises the literal translation to make it readable and make sense. But the literal translation says, Tisperu chamishim yoim, count 50 days. It's a contradiction to the previous verse that said count 49 days. And the fact is we only count 49. Why does it say in the Hebrew, you don't see it in the Hebrew, in English, Tisperu chamishim yoim, count 50 days. That's question number 3. Then the verse goes on to say in verse 16, what happens on the 50th day? That's a new Yom Tov. You shall bring a new gift offering to God. What do you bring? 2 breads made out of fine flour, fine wheat flour. Bread, leavened bread. On Shavuos, they brought in the temple 2 breads. Again, this wasn't brought by each individual, but one offering on behalf of the entire nation. Now, these 2 breads allowed for the use of the new crop in the temple. Every sacrifice, communal or private, was accompanied by what's called a meal offering, which means offering. And this meal offering was a certain measure of grain, deep fried or made in a highly specific way described in the Torah. It's all different kinds of meal offerings. And that was brought from wheat. You could not use crop from grain, from the new crop, until they brought the bread offerings on Shavuos. So the meal offering on the second day of Pesach, the Omer, allowed for what? Private consumption. The 2 bread offerings on Shavuos allowed for the use of the new crop in the temple. You could not use the new crop in the temple after the second day of Pesach. You could eat it personally. You had to wait till Shavuos till they brought the two loaves of bread. The question is as follows. All the meal offerings brought in the temple, which accompanied every single sacrifice year round, were not chametz. And they were forbidden to be chametz year round. So irony of ironies, that Shavuos, which is the culmination of Pesach, has to be chametz. This was one of two occasions. There were one of two occasions that the meal offering had to be leavened, and one of them was the two breads brought on Shavuos. And it's ironic, and we need to have an explanation, that Shavuos, which is the culmination of Pesach, because the whole purpose of the Exodus is what? To receive the Torah. On Pesach, we may have no trace of chametz. Year-round, every single meal offering has nothing to do with Pesach. The Torah says also can't be chametz. The one communal offering that has to be leavened is Shavuos, which is the climax of Pesach. Shavuos is the only Yom Tov that is not linked to a day of the month. It's 50 days after Pesach. Why? Because it's not an independent holiday. It really is the climactic conclusion of Pesach. That's why it's not a day of the month, the 6th of Sivan, or the 7th, or the 5th of Sivan, although the calendar is fixed now, so it's always Sivan 6. But in essence, it's not linked to a day of the month, it's 50 days after Pesach. So it's the culmination of Pesach, and yet, ironically, Shtei HaLechem, you have to bring leaven. Now, once we explained a number of years ago why I said that Shavuos is one of two offerings that had to be leavened. What's the other one? Anybody remembers? The Thanksgiving offering. Yes, a Thanksgiving sacrifice was accompanied by also a meal offering, and that had to be leavened. Every other sacrifice, sin offerings, guilt offerings, burnt offerings, their meal offerings all had to be non-leavened. The only other exception was when a person brought a Thanksgiving offering that had to be leavened. And I want to explain the reason for that. When I say it, you will remember. It's because when you're expressing thanks, the Torah wants you to be expressive like leaven. Remember? The difference between leaven and non-leaven is humility and self-abnegation, that's matzah. And chametz is self-expression. Self-expression is appropriate when you're thanking somebody else. That's when you should be very expressive and verbose and creative. When you're seeking forgiveness and so on, that's the time for contriteness, humility, and surrender. So all the other sacrifices had to be what? Unleavened. The Thanksgiving offering was the one where Torah says leaven, because when you thank, you ought to be expressive. Now, we talked about this, and not adopt the attitude that, well, that was that person's obligation, and, you know, you accept it in humility. After all, isn't that what that person is supposed to do? Aren't they supposed to open their home and invite me to their table? I don't have to be, gushing with thanks. This is their obligation. Torah says no. When somebody does something for you, God or anybody, it's 11 Thanksgiving. Your obligations, when you do for others, when you sacrifice, then you're not to be verbose and expressive about what you've done. Then you've got to be like the matzah. When you are doing, it's matzah. When you are thanking somebody else, it's leaven. So your attitude has to be when the person comes to your house, or you invite them, this is my obligation. Like, do I need any thanks for this? Do I have to make a big deal about it? This is what I'm supposed to do. This is what I'm here for. You've got to be like a matzah then. But the attitude of the one that is the beneficiary of this invitation to give the example, the thanksgiving is with leaven. That was all in parenthesis. But how do we explain Shavuos? Shavuos, which is the culmination of Pesach. Why is that 11 offering? The answer to all of the above is... Alright. The answer to all of the above is as follows. The counting of the Omer links, of course, the two holidays of the Exodus, Pesach, and Shavuos, the giving of the Torah. Let's examine for a moment what happened then originally and translate that spiritually and personally today. As we had learned previously, the moment of the Exodus itself, the Jewish people, our role was an entirely passive one, and God came down and whisked us out of Egypt. And the reason for the haste we had learned was because had we stayed a moment longer, we would have succumbed to the 50th level of impurity. Right? We learned about this. So God came down and took us out of Egypt. At that point, the animal soul was in a completely unrefined state. In fact, almost at the verge of complete dominance. The part of us that responded, therefore, to God at that moment of divine revelation when God revealed himself in Egypt and took us out from there was only our godly soul. Only the godly soul could be responsive because the godly soul is always responsive to God. The animal soul then was not because it was unrefined. We had to quickly leave the environs of Egypt and then began the process of refinement, of climbing the ladder, and therefore the 49 days corresponding to the 49 levels of impurity on the one hand, and corresponding to the 49 levels of purity, the corresponding levels of purity on the other extreme. So right off the bat, let's explain why the Torah links the counting of the Omer to the barley offering, because barley, compared to wheat, is animal fodder. We might as well have asked another question. Why is the Thanksgiving offering brought of barley in the first place and not of wheat, which is a more prestigious grain? Surely that should be the one through which we express our gratitude to God for the new crop. Why must it be barley? And the spiritual answer is, because barley is a reference to the animal fodder, and that's the focus here, is the refinement of the animal within man in preparation for the giving of the Torah. So we start with a barley offering, and we end up with a wheat offering, which is the transformation of animal to mensch. Refinement, exactly, which is representative of the wheat offering on Shavuos. Why on Pesach must we not have any trace of chametz? Because in the very beginning of beginnings and foundation of one's spiritual journey, there is no room there for self-expression or ego. We are unrefined, we are untamed, we are coarse, we are ignorant. And we need then to be silent and listen. We need to allow ourselves to be led. That's what happened at the Exodus. God came down and took us out of Egypt. We don't have an opinion because we're boorish and ignorant. And this is all relative. It's all relative. Each one on his level and each year the same process is experienced on higher and higher levels like the spiral. So why is it at the Exodus a stringent prohibition against any trace of leaven, any trace of ego? Because as we seek to extract ourselves from the clutches of evil, the clutches of Egypt, there is no time there for philosophy, for my import, for analysis, for my understanding, for my creativity. It is run and let yourself be led. Follow the instructions and no more. The self then has no role. The self needs to be contained. Needs to learn a whole new discipline. And while you're struggling with a new discipline, there's no time for, and there's no room for, your expression. You have to harness yourself now. That's why Pesach, no chametz. We're bringing a barley offering on the second day. We're dealing with the animal soul. We've got to rein him in. It's all about discipline. It's all about accepting the yoke. Not self-expression. Self-constraint. However, after that, once we have left Egypt, and we're pretty much, in terms of our practical behavior, we're on the right track. We've achieved a certain discipline in our lives. Now we can begin the process of refinement, of personal input, of creativity, of taking my talents, character traits, and harnessing them, using them, refining them, employing them in the service of God. That's the process of the counting of the Omer that continues after the Exodus for the 49 days. However, there's no obligation to eat chametz yet, or to bring any kind of offering of leaven. It's not prohibited as it was so strictly and absolutely in those early crucial days of, are you on track or not? Are you just doing what you're supposed to do? Have you orientated yourself properly or not? That's the question at the moment of the Exodus. Are you out of the clutches of Egypt, or are you still within its grip? After that, in the 49 days, there is no prohibition of chametz, but there's no mitzvah either. We're not ready quite yet for your position and your input in God's plan. You're still a learning process, and still it's a refinement process, and to some degree, still a disciplinary process. But at the same time, we are slowly bringing ourself and allowing our own expression to be part of my Jewishness. It's no longer just doing and, you know, keeping tight-lipped. It's now doing with growing joy and appreciation and love. Each day, each week of the 7 weeks, we're dealing with another emotion. We're bringing slowly another emotion into the relationship. The first week it's love, the second week is awe, the third week it's a sense of compassion, without going to the details of what those emotions mean. We're slowly introducing the self into the relationship. In the early days, there was no self. There was just pure allegiance. God said, I do. That's all. I don't even know why I'm doing it. You said so, I'm doing it. And it's not even relevant why. Slowly, I'm bringing my input, my joy in doing mitzvahs. After the 7 weeks, where I've introduced each one of my seven emotions over the course of the 7 weeks, then Torah says you have to bring bread. Bread means ego, on the one hand, and bread means mensch. It's made of wheat. Now the personality is refined enough to the point where, so what do you say? We want to see your expression. Every person has their unique creative contribution to God's purpose. After 7 weeks of careful refinement, finally, the ego is appropriate. It's a refined ego, based on the humility and the faith and the foundation and the egolessness of Passover. From that can blossom and grow and develop the mensch of Shavuos, which is why then it's mandatory and obligatory to bring the two breads. In other words, what we're saying is, in the beginning indeed, we're somewhat of a robot. That's a temporary stage. That's the foundation. The roots, the foundation concealed below the surface of the earth, are not expressive. No one even sees them. This means, as we discussed on a previous occasion, an essential allegiance to God, where the focus is not me at all, but absolutely Him. But His purpose is that I serve Him with every ounce of individuality that I have. Once the allegiance is in place, then the individual expression is now appropriate, and that's the purpose. The culmination of the Exodus of the two breads. God doesn't want just blind allegiance and denial of self. That is only in the early stages as the anchor. But built on that needs to be this individual that God created with every nuance of creativity and individualistic talent that I may have. We have to use all of it in the service of God. Leave not one ounce of it unused. That's the bread. Fully developed bread that you have to bring on Shavuos. Which follows, as mentioned, the 49 days of the 49-day process. So this is the meaning then too of the words Sfira. The word Sfira, Chassidus explains, means to count, and it comes from the word sapphire, which means to illuminate, process of refinement and illumination. Don't destroy the stone, illuminate it, purify it. Not the destruction of self, the purification of self. We'll quickly answer the other questions we asked as well. Starting with the 50-day, the 49 days, what is it? We count 49 or we count 50? The answer is we count 49, but when you go as far as you can, God confers the rest. You do reach 50. But that final step is that which God gives you. When you go as far as you can as a human being in terms of your connection to God, then comes the 50th day, God comes down and takes us the rest of the way. The 50th level, a reference to the absolute infinite, beyond 49, beyond the human condition. We have to develop our humanness to its fullest potential. And then God will confer on us the divine. That's 50. The 50th gate. 50th level of purity. And that's Shavuos, the culminating moment. So the first verse says count 49. The second verse says count 50. Well, is it? It's both. You count 49, you reach to 50. But that's what where God brings you. As to why, the first question we asked, which was what? The very first question. Why doesn't it say the second day of Pesach? Why does the Torah say the day after Shabbos? The answer to that is, in order to elevate the animal soul, it's no easy task. The animal soul actually is far more passionate and far more powerful than the godly soul, as they are in the body. The godly soul needs to get a special divine gift and power to be able to do so. Shabbos represents time. Shabbos represents nature at its apex. Beyond Shabbos means a gift of the infinite. Torah is saying here, where will you get the ability to be able to go through this whole process successfully and not just tame your animal soul, but refine it and elevate it? The gift comes from beyond the Shabbos. Beyond nature, in other words. If Shabbos represents the 7 days of the week and nature at its completeness, the ability to be able to deal with the animal soul needs to draw on something beyond the natural world. The natural law. And that's why Torah says, the day after Shabbos, meaning to say, a level beyond, higher than Shabbos, higher than what God invested in creation, does He give us to be able to win even the creation of Shabbos.